As was announced, the scripture reading this evening will be from the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 14. James 4, 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes.
Good to be back with you tonight. Hope everyone had a good, peaceful, and restful afternoon. Generally speaking, we preach sermons that are mostly geared to those who are members of the church. And that, of course, is because primarily that's what the audience is made up of. But tonight I want to address anyone who might be here tonight who has not obeyed the gospel of Christ. There isn't anything more important than the salvation of the soul. And I hope and pray that those who haven't named Jesus as their personal Savior will do that, not only here, but all over the world, will do that before it is too late. But one of the things that we're absolutely sure about is that when it comes down to sin, there's only one solution for it. And that, of course, is Jesus. We know that salvation comes only through and by Him. Peter, as he stood before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, reminded them or taught them that there is no salvation in any other name except for the name of Jesus. He's the only one who can save. And we're not surprised when we hear Peter say that to the Sanhedrin, because we remember when Jesus was in His personal ministry, and He began to say some things that the people didn't like, that His disciples left Him. They went back, the Bible says, and walked no more with Him. And you'll recall that He turned to the apostles and asked if they were going to go away as well. And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we realize that all of this time later, these hundreds of years that have passed, that still He's the only one who has the words of eternal life. He Himself said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come unto the Father but by Me. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, then you're lost. And there really is no other way for you to be saved but to accept Christ. And the way you do that is by obeying the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1 at verse 16, Paul reminds us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is the way that God calls people into His fellowship, and it is the only way that He does that. In 2 Thessalonians, you might want to turn your Bibles there and listen to what Paul has to say to the good brethren at Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians, and the chapter is 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, at verse 13 beginning, Paul writes this, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's through the gospel that Jesus saves individuals today. And again, that's the only way that He's going to save people. He's not saving people in a plurality of ways, as the religious world sometimes indicates. It's only through one's obedience to the gospel. If you haven't obeyed the gospel tonight, why not do that before it's too late? The fact of the matter is, this is a time that you have to obey the gospel, but you may not have time in the future. You might remember what Paul said to the brethren at Corinth. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and listen to what he says there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and at verse 2. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, at verse 2. Paul writes, for he saith, In a favorable time, I listened to you. In a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It may not be tomorrow, but we know now is the time. The fact of the matter is, there may not be a tomorrow. We understand that, but now is the time. Now is the time that God is still trying to call people by His grace, by the gospel of Jesus Christ, to come to Him and accept His Son as their Savior. But He may not be offering that grace tomorrow. You may not have a chance. Now is the time to obey the gospel of Christ. I don't know why anyone who is here, why you came tonight, I often say, maybe you didn't come. It's probable that you didn't come with your mind made up that you were going to obey the gospel, but still, you can do that. You can decide, because God has made obeying the gospel so simple. If you believe in Jesus, you can obey the gospel this very night. You can be buried in the waters of baptism. Your sins can be washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and you can do that now, while it is the favorable time. I remember the Hebrews writer in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Turn your Bibles over there. Hebrews chapter 4 and at verse 6. The Hebrews writer says, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterwards, and the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And that would still be the message this very night. When you hear Jesus inviting you to come to Him and to be saved, to take advantage of His sacrifice on Calvary's cross, do not harden your heart. He put it a little bit differently, and that is the Hebrews writer in chapter 12. You turn over there to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. At verse 25, he simply says, see that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject Him who warns from heaven. Do not refuse Him who is speaking. We encourage you, if you're not a Christian, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this very night. And I will suggest quickly three reasons why you ought to do that. The first reason is simply because life is so uncertain. We, as I said a moment ago, we don't know that we're going to be here tomorrow, or even if there's going to be a tomorrow. You remember the passage that was just read for us a moment ago. It is a familiar passage. We read it often in connection with this. James chapter 4, and beginning at verse 13, I will begin. James writes, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. And isn't that true about all of us here tonight? Like, who among us tonight really knows what tomorrow is going to bring? We simply don't know. It may be that Jesus Christ comes back tonight. As I said already, if that's the case, there won't be a tomorrow. It may be the case that there is a tomorrow for most people, but maybe not for you, or maybe not for me. We don't know when death is going to overtake us. And that is never meant simply to scare people into obeying the gospel of Christ or anything like that. It is just a known reality. I think everyone here tonight knows that we just don't know when we will die. Life is uncertain. It's uncertain for all of us. That's why he asks the question, what is your life? It is something for all of us to contemplate. You remember Peter had something to say along those lines, the brevity of life in 1 Peter, when he compared life to grass. All flesh is as grass, he said, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. What did he say about that grass? The grass withereth. The flower thereof falls away. And that's true with grass, isn't it? It grass is here one day and it's gone the next. Grass withereth. In this culture, at this time, in this community, it's cut. Just ask Mike about that. Grass really doesn't last very long around here. I'm always thinking, is he out there cutting that grass again? Like he was here just a couple of days ago. He does a good job with that. He stays on top of it. But it's gone just like that. And that's life. It's gone just like that. Here one day and gone the next. But he didn't just talk about the withering of the grass, did he? He said that the glory of man is like the flower of grass. Stop and think about that. Like no matter what you accomplish in this world, all the glory you may obtain, any wealth or riches that you amass, all the silver and gold that you can accumulate, you may end up living in a wonderful big house on top of the hill. You might drive fancy cars. You might really hit it big when it comes down to the things of this world. But all of the glory of man is going to fall away just like the flower of the grass. That's just life. But there's one thing that is going to endure. There's a few things that are going to endure. Your soul certainly is going to endure. But Peter went on to say that the word of God is going to endure. Everything else is going to pass away, but the word of God will last forever. And you know what this word says? It not only warns us about the uncertainty of life, but it brings us to our second point. It reminds us that there's going to be a day of judgment. You are not going to cease to exist when you die. That's not one of the things that's going to happen. There's some people who believe that. There's probably some people who are hoping for that. But that's not going to happen to anyone. After we die, then comes the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and at verse 27, I think all of us are familiar with that. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. If you're here tonight, you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to realize that's a reality. It's a reality not just for you, but for all of us. We're all going to be judged. The only question is, are you going to be prepared for that judgment? Because it's coming. And in Revelation chapter 20, we have a description, a little bit of it. Revelation, the 20th chapter, and beginning at verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, and at verse 11, John says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who is seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them." You know right now that the one on this throne is no ordinary individual. He's a powerful individual, so much so with the earth and the sky flee from him. We're talking, of course, about Jesus. And at verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne." Great and small, that's the biblical way of saying everybody. No one is going to escape this judgment. He saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And then he says, "And the books were opened." And you notice the books, plural. He goes on to say, there's another book which was opened, which is the book of life. And we perhaps talk more about that book in connection with this. But there's books. The first book is like a ledger book. And on that ledger is everything that we have ever done. There's no way that you can escape a just verdict in the day of judgment. Hey, well, maybe God won't know this. Maybe he'll miss this. He'll know every word that you have ever spoken, every action that you have ever taken. It's in the book. The only way to get it out of that book is by repentance. So if you have repented of a particular sin, you don't have to worry about that anymore. But if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, all the works that you have done, it's in the book. When you stand before that great white throne, and this one so powerful who the earth and the heaven flee from it, you're going to have to give an account of all those things that you have done. It's what Paul was talking about. We'll come back to Revelation chapter 20 in a moment or two. But it's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians and the fifth chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and notice at verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and at verse 10. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And so, of course, there's a message in all of this for all of us here tonight. Well, I'm particularly interested in those of you maybe who have never obeyed the gospel. The truth is, all of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Even those of us who have obeyed the gospel, we have to make sure that we're living the way God wants us to live, demands that we live, because we too are going to have to give an account. You notice the scope of this is the same as the passage in Revelation 20. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Because it's all in the book. God's not going to forget. We know that's figurative language. What it really means when he talks about the book, it's all locked in the mind of God. He doesn't forget anything. He sees everything. He knows everything. And he doesn't forget anything. And when we stand before Jesus in judgment, we'll have to give an account. That is why you should obey the gospel. That's why you should obey the gospel tonight. Life is so uncertain. And you're not going to just die and cease to exist. And no, some people wish that were the case, but it's not. There's going to be a judgment. In Acts chapter 17, Paul tried to get the Athenians to see that truth. Notice in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and at verse 30, Paul preached to these individuals in Athens. He says, "The time of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all people everywhere." You notice the scope of it once again. All of these passages are talking about the same thing. And so we understand who is involved in all of the passages. The great and the small. Everybody. He commands that all people everywhere repent. Why? Because he has fixed a day on which he has judged the world in righteousness, or will judge the world in righteousness, by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The empty tomb of Christ proves forever to everyone that there's going to be a day of judgment. And will you pay attention when he says that he has fixed a day? Listen, the day of judgment, God already knows exactly when it's going to be. He's already determined. It's a fixed day. I don't know when it's going to be, and you don't know when it's going to be. Truth be told, not even the Son of God knows when it's going to be. But the Father knows. And it's not changing. It cannot be altered. It doesn't matter what the devil wants. It doesn't matter what we want. There is a fixed day in which we will all have to give an account of the lives that we have lived. Are you prepared for that day? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you are not. And it doesn't matter if you're a good person. The probability is that everyone here is good person. There's good in almost everyone. Probably do good things. That won't save you. How are you saved? By Jesus Christ. He's the only answer. He has the words of eternal life. How does he save you? Through your obedience to the gospel of Christ. If you don't do that, it doesn't matter how good you are in other walks of life. You're still lost. You need to rectify that before it's too late. Because no matter what you decide to do, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there's a third reason. And that is, if the verdict doesn't go in your favor, you need to understand that hell is a real place. It is not a figment of our imagination. It is not a misinterpretation of the Bible. Hell is the place where those who don't obey the gospel will end up. Go back over to that passage in Revelation chapter 20. That reminds us of the fact that there's going to be a great judgment. He goes on to say at verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." That's Gehenna. That's hell. It's a place that's everlasting. It's an eternal place of torment. Listen to what Paul says over in the book of 2 Thessalonians once again. In 2 Thessalonians, the same passage that teaches us that it's through the gospel that God calls us to salvation, he also warns us in the first chapter of this book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and at verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, "And to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on" who? "On those who do not know God." Like, there's not going to be any excuses. "Now, when these people over here, those people over there, they don't know God." Doesn't matter. People aren't going to go to this lake of fire because of ignorance. They're going to go because of sin. It is our responsibility. That's why it's so important, those of us who are Christians, to spread the gospel of Christ to as many people as possible. God has already arranged for the word of God to be preached to every creature under heaven. It's not his fault that some decided to dismiss him from their memory. And then generation goes by and generation goes by and people don't know God. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is coming back and he's going to inflict vengeance. And it's going to be upon those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. I don't have to worry. I do know God. Yes, but have you obeyed the gospel? Remember, it's the power of God unto salvation. And watch the rest of this. Verse 9, he says, "They will suffer the punishment of" what? "Eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord." That's the fate of everyone who doesn't obey the gospel. Here tonight, you have the opportunity. Remember, it's the favorable time. God still has his hands outstretched. He wants you to take a hold of it. He wants you to obey the gospel. He wants you to accept Jesus. The truth of the matter is, he has all kind of blessings for you now and a home in heaven after a while. But you have to respond to the invitation. You know life is uncertain. Don't say, "Well, I'm going to think about it. I hear what you're saying, and I just want to give it some thought, but you know, there's still some things I want to accomplish." Remember, life is like a vapor. You need to decide to accept Jesus sooner than later. As we said, you may not have tomorrow, but you have right now. Why not obey the gospel? Be baptized into Christ. We hope that you'll make that good decision tonight before it's too late, as we together stand and sing.